So our scripture reading today contains perhaps the most well-known passage in all of the Bible. Many people believe that this particular passage is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. That if a person were to ask what it means to be a Christian, you would only point to this specific verse. This specific verse is found often at sporting events, on signs. The verse I'm talking to is John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." These words are important, and they're spoken by Jesus. But what I am captivated by today is not the words so much themselves, but who they were spoken to. Our gospel reading today is about a man named Nicodemus who comes to Jesus in the middle of the night wanting to know what it means to be a follower of him. But what interests me about Nicodemus isn't just what happens this night, but it's also about his background. You see, Nicodemus was a member of something known as the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the ruling class of religious leaders during Jesus' day. It was made about 22 to 70 men, and they held as much power as the Supreme Court, Congress, and the President of the United States put together. They decided what it meant to be a faithful follower of God, the rules, the laws, and the traditions one must follow in order to be accepted in God's sight. And Nicodemus spent his entire life trying to become a member of the Sanhedrin. He had to be born first into a Jewish family. And then as he had grow older, he had to be the perfect student, knowing his Bible backwards and forwards. And then he had to study for many, many years under another rabbi and teacher before finally he was allowed to become a member of the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus's understanding of God and the world was very specific and very rigid. And yet there was something about Jesus that made him consider that maybe the way he was living was not in accordance with the way God wanted him to live. That maybe he needed to look at things differently in order to become a follower of Jesus. I have to admit, I admire Nicodemus. I admire Nicodemus for a lot of reasons, but I admire Nicodemus most because he did not let his past define his future. You see, many times we are living not for what is or what is to come, but for what has happened before. Many of our choices are not informed by what we are doing, but by what we have done, or by what has been done to us. But Jesus called his message the gospel. And the gospel means good news. That what Jesus is teaching is good, but it's also new and different. And in order to be a follower of God, we have to be willing to look at things in a new way. Like Nicodemus, we must be able to consider that maybe the way that we are living or the way that we understand the world is not the way that God understands the world. I remember when I first started driving and I got my learner's permit. And I was just about as nervous as anyone else. And my parents started me off slow, first teaching me how to drive in a parking lot and then just driving on quiet residential roads. But as time went on, I went on busier and busier roads and faster speed limits. And when you first start driving, if there is another driver around you honking at you or acting aggressively to you, you immediately think it's that you're doing something wrong. You feel insecure about your driving because you don't have enough experience yet to feel secure about driving. And so I remember one particular time I was going down the road and I was going at a safe speed and all of a sudden someone started tailgating me. Someone started riding my bumper. Not only was this stressful because someone was riding my bumper, but it was also stressful because it was snowing outside. I immediately began to ask the question to my dad, who was driving in the passenger seat with me. What should I do? Should I go faster? Should I move over to the other lane? What should I do? This person is driving right behind me. And my dad told me to be patient and continue to look forward and drive, to not worry what will happen behind you. I still was nervous about this driver until finally my dad said something that gave me a great deal of peace. He said, Andy, if you wind up in the ditch because all of a sudden you change the way that you drive, is this person going to help you? From that day forward, I drive as best as I could. I follow the rules of the road, and I try to be a safe and an effective driver, but I don't worry too much if someone's riding my bumper and I'm driving at the speed I'm supposed to. I share this story with you because many of us live our lives looking in the rear view mirror. We spend our lives thinking about what has been instead of what will be. And the same can be true with our faith. We often don't see the plans that Jesus has for us, how God is guiding our steps, because we are living our life in the rearview mirror. Perhaps we are living our life in response to someone in our past. But God calls us to live for today and to look with the future with hope and promise and purpose. So the question becomes, how do we put that idea into action? How do we not live in the rearview mirror of our daily lives? There's a scripture I'd like to share with you, and it comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. And it's this. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It's easy to get in a pattern, a rut, a way of being and thinking and behaving. Our attitudes and our actions and our words match a certain tone and attitude. But the question that we have to ask ourselves is, are they Christ's tone or attitude? And if not, then we are conforming our patterns to something else, to the patterns of this world. We must renew our minds and walk and live the patterns of Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned before, the first step to doing that is the willingness to look at things in a new way. And then we have to turn to God as Nicodemus turned to God and ask God questions. What purpose do you have for me? Explain this situation, or why did this thing happen? I love Nicodemus because Nicodemus is perhaps one of the most well-educated men, most important men, powerful men in his society. And yet he comes to Jesus not proud and arrogant and boastful, but he comes to Jesus humble, asking simple questions, asking questions that are almost Sunday school 101. You see, Nicodemus has a humble heart, and we must have a humble heart as well. And in our humility, we should recognize that God is patient with us, that God loves us, that when we come to God with questions, God does not rebuke us, God does not reject us, God does not condemn us, but God only loves us. That God wants to come to Him with an open heart and an open mind, and to fill our open hearts and open minds with His love and purpose. But to do this, we must spend time with God. We must spend time in His Word. We must spend time in worship. We must spend time in prayer. And we must trust that God's will be done when we can see it and when we cannot see it. See, sometimes it's easy to have an attitude unlike Nicodemus. Sometimes it's easy to have an attitude where we think we know best, or we know it all, or we don't need God's wisdom and guidance. But nothing could be further from the truth. Because the truth of the matter is that God is wiser than us. God has been around since the beginning of time, and God will be around for all eternity. God has literally seen it all and done it all. And we, in our own existence, are only here for a brief period of time and only experience a brief part of His creation. And so we must lean not on our own understanding, but on an understanding that is greater than us, that is stronger than us. We must return to God again and again and again and ask ourselves the question, are my ways Christ's ways? And if not, how can I live more and more like Jesus? And know that when you do this, Jesus is patient with you. Jesus loves you. He always welcomes you back, and He always listens and shares with you like a loving and caring Father. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, help us not live our lives backwards, but help our lives live forwards. Give us the courage and wisdom to trust not our own ways or our own self, but Your ways. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.